morning feeling fine. There's something special on my mind. Last night I found a new system in my spreadsheets. Whoa, yeah. Something tells me I'm into something good. Something tells me I'm into something. There you go, morning boys and girls. Something tells me I'm into something good. Do, 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 do. So you've got to be upbeat in these times. We've got to be upbeat, people. We've got to get out and be upbeat and curb all the flipping Egypts out there. Get rid of them. So I came up yesterday, I mentioned, didn't I, all the Egypts going away. A few of you reporting that more cars on the road. It is a worry that people are fucking thick as mints. So I've come up with FTS Operation Southwest. It's fucking simple. It's genius. If you live down there, get out now. Go and park your car middle of the M5 or 303, whichever one you're nearest to. Use it as your bit of exercise to walk back home. Park your car on the old southbound lanes. Either 303, just go and park it there. If we can get about 2,000 cars parked across the M5 and the 303, stop the fuckers going down there. Do the same up going up to the Lake District as well. Those of you the northbound, go and park your cars. Just park them, leave them, walk away. What are the police going to do? Hey, you're doing the job for them. You're barricading it up. FTS, Operation Southwest, get out there. Brian Rendell, Paul Hill, all you guys, get your cars out parked on the flipping thoroughfares. Make the fuckers turn round and go back. It's simple. There, just leave them there. Leave them there for the next fucking 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. You don't need them. You're not allowed out. Go and park your cars. Go on, let's get it done. I want to see it on the news tonight. Stacks of cars parked across the old M5, A303, M1, M6, all of it. Let's bring it all to a standstill. Fuck them, fucking wankers. We'll get the food to you somehow. We'll helicopter it in. Don't worry. FTS Operation Southwest. Yeah, I think there's some strange things. I woke up in the night. What happened to boxes in supermarkets? I mean, I don't even know why that came in my head. What happened? You know when you used to go shopping? I used to go shopping with my gran. And at the back of the tills, there used to be a bit with all the boxes. Go and get a couple of boxes. And you used to box your shopping and go, what happened to them? It's got to be much better than the current situation, isn't it? The supermarkets are having all the food delivered in boxes. Rather than crush them, put them out. There. What happened to boxes in supermarkets? Do you remember them, or am I just an old bastard? And golfers, what the hell were kilties? That came to me. Why did that come to me? I was probably thinking of the Masters. Kilties, you know those silly flaps that you used to get on golf shoes? What on earth were they all about, and what were they for? Why did we walk around with flaps flapping on our golf shoes? The old kilties, I think that's what they were called. There you are. I just think of, you never know what's going to come out in this podcast. I think of absolute nonsense at all times. See, you lot watch TV, I sit and wonder what the hell were kilties for. I've mentioned a guy, Dave, quite a few times. I've mentioned him on the podcast. Dave's sort of come on board. He came on board firstly to help me with my email. He's a much more structured individual, I would say, than I am in certain areas of life, and very organised. So he sort of said, I can help you with your email, get it into a better format so that you can. Yeah, he's then come on board with other things with FTS, a few of you have asked, was he the Dave who ran the horse race service? I think ready to have a go at him. No, he wasn't. He was an original one of my one-to-one members many years ago. Dave, I've known him since, I don't know, 2008, 2009 maybe. Really nice guy. I actually say him and his wife are two of the nicest people I've ever met, but they don't like me saying that, but they are two of the nicest people I've ever met. Been very successful in his own right, but he was not the Dave who ran a horse race service. So anybody emailing him, because he has now got his own FTS email address, leave him alone. He's not that guy. It is not the same Dave. I have many Daves. I have all the best Daves. I've got all the best Daves. And the horse Dave, unfortunately, wasn't one of them. He was fake news. I turned that into Donald. See, there's something wrong with me, isn't there? A little question. Tied the boys up last night on WhatsApp. I got this within 1 minute. So don't Google it. See if you can get this. Those of you like your football. 6 teams have won the Premier League. One player has played for 4 of those teams, and he never won a title. Who is it? Let me know on Twitter. No Googling, you cheeky little gits. No cheating. Yeah, so 6 teams have won the Premier League. One player played for 4 of these clubs.
But he never won the title, so he was never at the club when they won the title. So let me know who it is. There you go. I'm no clues. I end up giving them clue. Well, I might as well have told them in the end. Pathetic. A few other queries to tidy up. Chris Winter, I see you commented yesterday you won the first lockdown quiz. Go on, send us your address if you've got it. We'll send you the book. We got them to give away, so send us your thing. And you left your comment vitamin D, and I'm not... I know you'd missed a few pods, you were catching up. I know you're a man who looks into these things, but I'm a man who likes science, and I still haven't found any conclusive evidence either way, my friend. Somebody pointed me to one study I looked and read, and it was there. I then read a Yale study, which was over 25,000 people, and there was no conclusive evidence that vitamin D3 improves things. And that actually covered, you said, why do we get more cold in winters? That was actually in this Yale study. And it is allegedly down to the first line of defence is the cold air in the nose. We breathe it in, and the colder air cooling the nasal passage slows the mucus clearance. Viruses, as a result, can stick around in the nose much longer because when it's warm, the mucus can get rid of them. They go down into your stomach with the mucus and get dissolved by stomach acid. But where the cooling air of the nasal passage slows that mucus clearance, and as a result... they stick around and can cause infection. And I followed that up then after your comment and found another 2-3 sources from reputable means that stated exactly the same. I've still not found anything 100% conclusive that says vitamin D sorts it out. So I'm not trying to be contrary to you, son. I like to look into these things and find out rather than just believe what I'm told. So I had a look at that. Funny enough, that's the sort of thing, like I said, watching TV, that's the sort of shit I fill my time with. I do like digging up. I mean, that Yale study had lots of long words in it, all the best words. And some of it, I have to admit, it lost me. But interesting reading when you go through them. I just like shit like that. You can't get the big lie through in the Google era, that's the thing. I like to try and find out why things happen. I don't do it to be contrary. I just like to understand it in my head. I think we live in an era of, which I'm going to get onto in a minute, of fake news and bullshit and crap and people saying anything. And, you know, I don't get people just making up shit to be liked on internet or whatever. And I think I told the story when I was in the USA, me and my mates do have a line. You can't get the big lie through in the Google era. I think I told the story the night I went for dinner with the NRA lunatic woman, and she asked me if I was a Muslim. And we sat there, and one of the Americans that we were with in Palm Springs said, why are we called Limeys? The nickname for us. And my mate proceeded to tell them that we were named after Lime Street in Liverpool. And as they were coming out of his mouth, I thought, this is just bollocks, because I'm sure it was long before there was flipping stations and Limes and Lime Street and this, that and the other. So sure enough, I went back after we'd finished that evening and Googled it, and it was nothing to do with that. It was complete bollocks. It was named because the ships carried limes when the immigrants were coming over to protect from scurvy. So he basically, that American's probably gone off and said, oh, they're named after, it's probably going doing the rounds in Southern California, all because my mate talked a load of bollocks. And I said to him the next day, you like to try and get the lie through in the big Google era, and you can't do it. Another time I was in Palm Springs, funny enough, if you ever go to Palm Springs, there's a bar restaurant called The Nest. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. If you do ever go there, go to The Nest. It's just on the main drag in Palm Springs, right by Indian Wells, tennis and golf. And there's a bar, it's a restaurant bar called The Nest. Guy sits in there playing the piano. He's actually quite good. He sits and sings, and other people get up and sing. I didn't, to be fair. I know that surprises you. But what's amazing about this bar, it's quite surreal. You cannot tell the age of anyone, and I mean that. You walk in, and everybody looks like they have got somebody holding the skin at the back of their head, pulling it tight. There's more plastic than Mr. Potato Head in the place. You're talking to people that you think are 40, and it turns out they're 70. And you got 70-year-olds in there doing drugs, whatever it is, coke or whatever it is they do, and getting up and singing. I went when the year I was there. I mean, I've been a few times, but the year I remember was when Journey song "Don't Stop Believing" was coming back. I think it was a theme tune to a TV show or something, and it was back in the charts. And there was a woman there, you know, 10 to 12 years ago. Honestly, she looked about 30, 35. And we sat at the bar on bar stools talking to the barman. And he said that she was 71. She comes in every night, does a load of drugs and sings. And she sang that song every single night. Got up, really belted it out, to be fair. But she did. She looked about 35 and she was 71. But I was in there one night in the restaurant. You go in the restaurant and you go through to the piano bar bit. It goes on till about 2 in the morning. And I think I've talked about this before on the pod. I can't remember, as I said. Whenever you go out for dinner, don't you, you always got the knob with the wine. I like wine. I like a nice glass of Rioja. I like a dry white, a Muscadet. That's it. That's what I know to order. I'll have a Rioja, please. I'll have a Muscadet, please. I never pick the wine list up and have a look at it because I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm talking about. But you always get one. Doesn't matter who you go to dinner with. There's always one in the party. Give me that. I'll have a look at that. I think I told the story when I went to Ramsay's and my mate took the wine. They've got a sommelier. I mean, you've got a sommelier in a 3-star Michelin restaurant. I think he knows what he's doing. No, my mate knew more. Took the wine list and ordered the sweetest wine. He ordered a dessert wine. Fucking had to sit and drink it on his own to sort of save face. Fucking idiot. But you always get one, don't you? Always somebody, yeah, I'll have a look at that. Wankers. Trying to pretend they know about it. But so we had one of them with us on this trip. There's 8 of us went and we had one a bit like that then. And what do you like? I said, oh, I like a Rioja, this, that, and the other. He went through all wishy-washy, Pinot, no, blah, 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 fucking hell. So he said, what about a Shiraz? Don't worry, whatever for me. I'll just drink whatever. I'm at me drinking beer. Don't bother. But a guy who wasn't with us then leaned across from the table, another guy who's fucking obviously earwigging, and went, Shiraz, careful with that if you're playing. He was an English guy, he was there golfing as well. Careful if you're drinking that, guys. You don't want that when you're playing golf tomorrow. A bit heavy. You don't get a Shiraz less than 12%. I know the fuck all about wine, don't know, so okay. So we ordered wine, whatever. In the morning, I woke up, genuinely about 2 in the morning, and that was the first thing I thought of. You don't get Shiraz less than 12%. I'm sure I've seen it. I'm sure I've seen, because I do often look at the alcohol volume. Don't ask me why. Just do. And so I Googled it, and there was loads of wines, Shiraz wines, that were less than 12%. So I sat for 2 hours typing out lists of them, and I went back the next night and told the fucking guy I was talking bollocks, and I told him, you can't get the big lie through in the Google era as well. I said, you're talking shit, mate. And my mates who I was with thought I was absolutely fucking nuts sitting up at night typing out wines. I got about 40 wines that I found Shiraz under 12%. So there, yeah, fucking people with wines, aren't they? Fucking idiots. I've just told you the Ramsay story anyway in short, and I think I've done that on the pod before. What else waffling on? Moving on though, there was an interesting discussion on Twitter last night. I didn't get involved as I'd have probably lost the plot, and I respected everybody who's involved in it. It was just my opinion, so I didn't want to get involved and start titting tatting back arguments and upsetting anybody. But it basically centred around the right of free speech, I guess. David Icke interviews or videos being removed. Lord Dio was involved, and I have to say, Dio, I completely and utterly agreed with what you were putting. My opinion, and it is only my opinion, I firmly believe this, though, that misinformation is the biggest threat to our race and civilization as we know it at the minute. I think that is going to be what starts to bring things down, because it is running amok, running unabated. In that discussion last night, one of the parties mentioned that this wasn't happening, you know, videos taken down with moon landings, 9/11. And I just couldn't really buy into that. It's not the same now, is it? It's nowhere near the same. We're losing the same number of people as they lost on 9/11 3 or 4 times a week between just us and the US. It's a totally unique situation, and misinformation on this is so dangerous, and it's going to cost lives. It's simple. 9/11 was an event that happened. It affected the people that day massively. It affected our lives for travel and airports, but the most people, obviously it was New York it affected. We weren't locked in our houses. We were just watching news of this horrendous thing that had happened, mainly an American problem. Obviously it led to us being drawn into other things, but conspiracies around it. But it wasn't something that everybody was being locked down and being told, like, oh, they're going to bomb you next or whatever. It was just one of those things. And there was low, and social media, even when 9/11 happened, wasn't anything like it is now. It wasn't in everybody's hand 24/7. You know, you used to walk in a pub maybe and you'd sit there and there'd be a character who'd say his piece, and, you know, he might say, oh, George Bush instigated it all so he could start a war with Iraq or whatever. And you walked out either thinking, well, that guy was a total whack job, or perhaps you thought there's some merit in what he says. This is totally different. Thousands are dying. The world is locked down. If you, there's been two or three interviews with people who lived through World War II who are saying this is much worse and more scary. And I think that's the key. The population of the world currently mostly is scared and anxious. I cough, I get anxious. I'm anxious that I don't want to lose my wife to this fucking disease. I wasn't anxious that Osama bin Laden was going to turn up at my front door. And we're clapping heroes on Thursday nights who are risking their lives, risking their kids, losing, you know, their kids losing their parents because their parents are just going to work to try and save lives, to try and beat this. And I think the days in situations like this, free speech, it's a bit of an exception. It needs to be reined in because people, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. You shouldn't be just allowed to make bollocks up that has no merit, no background, bollock, and it just needs to be reined in my opinion, in this instance, you know. And you've got people, whether you, there'll be people there who agree with them, Ike, Hopkins, Morgan, I'm telling you what they are, they're all self-promoting. Ike wants to sell his speaker appearances, sell his books. Katie Hopkins, exactly the same. Morgan wants to be the number one man on TV. To think that they're on your side and they're doing it to warn you, you're fucking mad. There's something up with you. It's fucking dangerous to let this misinformation be spread as vociferously as it is day by day. It's getting out of hand. People like Facebook saying politicians can lie, post what they like. We're going to do nothing about it. It's up to the public to make their mind up. The public ain't that fucking clever. They're thick as fucking mints. And in this instance, 5G, as I discussed the other day, it may have some concerns, 5G. There's no conclusive proof either way. Fucking look it up. Look at all the studies. Nobody has concluded anything. So we're whipping up this storm. The one thing I fucking do know, it's fuck all to do with this virus. It is absolutely fuck all to do with it. That is fact. And scientists have said it. The chief medical officer said it. Witty said it. Powers has said it. If you sit and listen, it is absolute bollocks. This virus is not a hoax. The public at large are fucking getting thicker, and I don't care what people say. Social media, it targets the young. During the moon landings, they weren't fucking targeting, saying, hang on, guys, this ain't fucking right, were they? People were watching the moon landings after the event. Oh, was that right? Why is the flag blowing? Blah, blah, blah. We are in completely different fucking days, and people are doing it. And for me, and it's an opinion, it is wholly, wholly wrong what is going on, and it should all be removed in this circumstance. The time for going on to shit like that is when this is done and dusted with and people aren't fucking dying daily. Peddling shit like, oh, it might just be 5G. People are looking at it going, well, I haven't got 5G in my area. They think it's safe to go out. They're fucking killing people. That's the bottom line. They're fucking killing people. Believe in them. You keep it away. You know, kids are being influenced by it. And I'll give you an example, and this is an absolute fact. I can even get the fucking screenshots up there. My daughter is pregnant in Malta, 30 years of age she is now, 30 fucking years of age, grammar school educated. I've well documented problems she's had on here in the past, or stories where she's been a bit of a fuck. She is the most easily influenced person I know. Thick as mints. You know, it's a horrible thing to say, but fucking thick as mints. We tell her something, not interested. She goes out to a nail salon and the girl doing her nails tells her something and she believes it. And she has had a 28 message WhatsApp exchange 2 days ago with Sam, basically saying that this isn't a virus, it's 5G. If I got involved, I'd fucking lose my shit with her. But I just told Sam, just tell her it's fucking bollocks. But she's convinced herself that's what it is. Because she's looking for a reason to go out. Oh, we don't have a load of 5G in Malta, I'll go out. Not linked at all. As I say, it's not free speech, it's fucking misinformation. A lot of it is being done deliberately. People know what they're doing. They're doing it for self-promotion, clicks for YouTube income, whatever it may be. They are not doing it to look out for the fucking public, and we do need to rein it in. Times have changed. The free speech times of other people have changed. It's just my opinion, and I appreciate others have differing ones. You know, people may want to hear David Icke. And I think I think if you're of the ilk where you've been stuck indoors for 30 days and you've got kids, you may be looking for something to find a reason to go out. So if somebody says it's not a virus, it's a foam mask, then you might, well, fucking, oh, good, here I go. I ain't got no 5G, I'm off. It's fucking killing people, you monumental fucking weapons. You know, confirmation bias is massive these days. It's absolutely proven. I remember I clicked on, somebody said something to me about Tommy Robinson. I think, again, I said this on the... So I clicked something. The very next day on Twitter, everything to do with BNP right-wing stuff was coming through on my feed. That's what they do. That's how it works. You don't know. It's all going on behind. You click a post loving guns, you'll get more post loving guns. It's all working behind the scenes for you. People get fed of more of what they look at. The more they get fed it, the more they start to believe it. It cements their opinions. They don't then want to entertain other opinion, and it's a race to the bottom. I do think this misinformation thing is a massive, massive issue. I think we're far underestimating it. You've got a prime minister here. Irrespective of whether he's ill or not, the facts are the guy just stands up and tells blatant lies. You've got the leader of the free world, lies continuously. He gets up, just lies continuously. We have developed this culture all through misinformation and bollocks. You know, that drug, that hydroxychloroquine or whatever it is, Trump's got investments in it. He's standing there saying, use that, we'll get that, it might work, this is great. People have tried it and fucking died. There's no evidence at all yet. The doctors are standing saying, we have got no evidence to do that. He's shutting them down. He's got fucking money invested in it. We're letting this go on. And then you go on Twitter, type that in. How many people are saying it's great? They're saying it's great because the fucking orange buffoon said it. It's got to be reined in. It's fucking dangerous. I wasn't going to get involved in that, was I? Sorry, guys. Anyone who was in that conversation last night, genuinely, I love you all. I wasn't having a go at you. My opinion on it... is that I think it's we're in dangerous times. People are not clever enough or bothering to look things up and find out. They're taking what is said too easily, and it is everywhere, 24/7. Bollocks. Right, move on. Come on in. Right, book of the day. Book of the day is Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt. We talk a lot about goal setting, not giving up. This is a good little quick start in that area, particularly with a not quitting sort of attitude. For everything, not just for punting, dieting, life in general. Good book. Book of the day, Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt. Another thing to get on my eye horse about. Hold on, we got a WhatsApp. I've got a few WhatsApp groups, Art's in one. We got one with 8-10 of us. All the usual gifts going round, you know, that come round, just lighten the day and chat about nonsense. And then Art posts his picture of his flipping dinner yesterday. I can't take any more of that northern food seriously. I copied it onto Twitter. Two sausage rolls, then in bread rolls with ketchup. I mean, it is no wonder you're fucking in and out of hospital. I love you to bits, but it is no fucking wonder you are in and out of hospital. And then Fred, who listens to me, is it Freddie Aspinall? Fred listens to me, follows me. Chips in occasionally about culinary. I thought he had something about him from a culinary field, and he puts, lovely, a variation on the classic pie butty. What's the matter with you, Fred? I thought you had something fucking about you, son. A pie and a roll has never been a thing. It's fucking simple. Look, get past Watford, right? When you get past Watford, right, go in a supermarket. When you walk in the supermarket, I've probably got no northern listeners left, probably only southerners left after yesterday. But if any of you northerners are left, here you go. Right, when you walk in the supermarket, it's the first 15, 20 yards are odd, isn't it? Because they have a little dump bins, don't they? They have Quality Street tins, booze, probably some bags of crisps. Stack the hot cross buns up probably this time of year as you walk in, and then you've got the little gate things that you take your trolley through. So you've got to get past that first 20 yards, don't touch any of it, close your eyes, grab your trolley and run, close your eyes. When you get through them gates thing, you're met by a fucking oasis of green, orange, red, yellows, purples. That, my northern friends, is what is called the fruit and veg section. Try it, it's fucking healthy, you can do wonders with it. There, so ignore that first bit. Run, eyes closed, through the barrier, open your eyes to that oasis and grab them fruits and veggies, and then listen to me and I'll tell you what to do with it, like this. So today we're going to have a bit of roasted aubergine with ratatouille. So in effect, this is two recipes in one. We're going to do the roasted aubergines, very underestimated fruit, I'm losing the plot. But we're going to make our ratatouille first. So for your ratatouille, you want a couple of red onions, some garlic, courgettes, two or three courgettes, two or three peppers, red or yellow, doesn't really matter, six ripe tomatoes, bit of basil, some olive oil, some thyme, one tin of good quality tomatoes. You can get, I like those tin cherry tomatoes for this. They do Tesco's, I think, or Sainsbury's do a tin cherry tomato. But if not, you know, get tin tomatoes, bit of lemon, bit of balsamic vinegar. So prep all the veg, peel and cut the onions, you know, chop the garlic, slice the courgettes, de-seed the peppers, chop them into chunks, the fresh tomatoes, chop them up, and get the basil leaves, just you want the leaves. Slice the stalks as well, because the stalks have got a load of flavour. So pick the leaves off, then slice the stalks, they can go in as well. Get a big pan, a couple of teaspoons of olive oil, heat it, add the onion, add the courgettes, add the peppers, garlic, basil stalks, thyme leaves, and just fry all that for 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes until it's all soft and golden. Not too high heat, medium heat. There. Once that's done, stir in your tin tomatoes, stir in a spoon of balsamic vinegar, squeeze a lemon, good load of salt and pepper. Give it a good mix, breaking up your tomatoes. Make sure your tin tomatoes are breaking up and your, if you're using the cherry tomatoes, give them a push down as well, and the tin tomatoes there. Let that just simmer on a really low heat, cover it, let it simmer for about 30-35 minutes. You're going to have a nice, sticky, sweet ratatouille. That is going to go on the side of your roasted aubergines. And for the roasted aubergines, what you want is an aubergine sliced in half, again, a bit of olive oil, and then we want some spices to put on top, and a garlic clove. If you don't, so basically slice the aubergine in half, then get a knife and just cut them diagonally across, so cut the flesh of the aubergine, sort of cross, actually, like you're almost doing a noughts and crosses board on it. So just do that across the flesh of the aubergine. We are then going to rub some spices and oil into that. So you want some, just after a teaspoon of cumin, coriander, sumac if you've got it. If you haven't got sumac, get a lemon and use lemon zest. Some dried oregano and some salt. Mix that all together in a little ramekin or a little saucer or whatever. And then rub that onto the top of the aubergine. Just rub that in. Get it into the crosses that you've cut. Rub that in. Drizzle them with olive oil. Put them on a greased baking tray. Put them in the oven low, about 150, for an hour. Halfway through, turn them over. Just to check them, all you do is pierce them with a fork and you'll see if they're juicy. Depends, the cooking time will depend how big your aubergines are. Once they're done, take them out. They'll be lovely, nice, roasted, beautiful aubergine flesh, spiced up. Put that on the plate. Serve your ratatouille. Warm it through if it's gone cold. Serve that on the side. Beautiful roasted aubergines with a ratatouille. All homemade, all found in the green, yellow, purple, orangey section, my little northern friends. There you go. We've got no one left from the Northern Isles. They've all left me. All right, poker tonight. I think we seem to have a few issues registering for this, so I'm going to go through it one more time. To join the club, the club number, so you need to download the PokerStars software, register yourself on that, give yourself a username, whatever. On the PokerStars software, on mine, it's bottom right, there's three dots that says more. You click that, there's a home game section. Click the home game section, join a club. The club number is 3416895. The invitation code is FTS Income, all one word, with FTS and I all in capitals. I then need to approve you. Once you get that, I'll get a notification saying people have applied. I will approve anybody who applies. We can have up to 100, I think, and then they go up, but we're nowhere near that. Once you've been approved, you go log in again, go to the home game section. There's two tabs around about the middle of the page. One will say My Scheduled Games and one will say My Scheduled Tournaments. You need to click the tournaments one. There's a tournament in there, FTS Lockdown 1, which you can then click a register button. At that point, it will take your £11. That's all you can lose. It will take your £11. But you've got to go to that My Scheduled Tournaments and register. The other way is to open the club lobby. And on that bit, there's another menu at the top that says schedule. If you click there, the tournament's in there. Again, click on it and register. If you do not register for the game, you won't be in it. You'll be in the club, but that you need to register for that particular tournament. £11. It starts at 7:15. If you haven't registered, there's nothing I can do about it. It's run by PokerStars. We pay them £1 a person to run it and their software. I'm just a participant like you. I've just set it up. Just a bit of fun. But so 3416895, invitation code FTS Income, with the FTS and I being in capitals. I will approve you, but once approved, either open the club lobby, schedule and do it, or when you go to the home games, there's one that says My Scheduled Games, My Scheduled Tournaments. It's in the My Scheduled Tournaments tab. Click it and register. I can't do any more than that. That is the process. So if people can't find it or can't register, apologies, that is all I can do. Right, what else have we got? Oh, I watched a couple of you said I watched late last night or last yesterday. I Believe in Miracles. Absolutely brilliant. I Believe in Miracles. A story of Clough's Forest, 1978 through to 81, when they came up, won the league and the European Cups. Absolutely loved it. One of the best things I've seen. I absolutely, really, really enjoyed it. Thought it was brilliant. A lot of old players on it talking about those days. Larry Lloyd, Martin O'Neill, Kenny Miller, John McGovern. Absolutely. I thought it was brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Didn't know that existed. So thank you, whoever pointed me in the direction of that yesterday. It was on Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon for about £4, or if you got one of them Kodi boxes, the stream's on there. Shh, I didn't say that. But I Believe in Miracles. It's the story of Forest. Absolutely, honestly, brilliant. If you're into football, it's a must watch. Absolutely superb. You realise how big Clough was. It, just brilliant. Joke of the day. I'm getting more interest in it. I get more email about joke of the day. More of you trying to get in on the act, you all want to be on the pod, than I do about trading or anything else now. It's brilliant. This one was from Graham. It's so bad. I was once totally addicted to the Hokey Cokey, but I'm okay now as I've managed to turn it all around. See, that's what it's all about. Do. There you go. Thank you, Graham, for that one. Thanks for sending that one in. What else have we got? Have I done stat of the day? Stat of the day. Okay, stat of the day. This is a mixed market one. So this is actually using one market price to operate in another market. So we might get a few questions on this one. Going to the old championship. Stat of the day championship. If you've got FDD, you need FDD sheets for this. Championship, less than 2.5 on the FDD sheets. In column H, in the HA goal ratio. That's the home and away goal ratios that are calculated. I think it's column H, I'm pretty certain it is. And then a first half goal lay price 5 minutes before, so laying a first half goal over 0.5 first half goals. Under 0.5 first half goals, so you're saying there is going to be a goal, but we're laying, you need the lay price to be 3.2 or less. Matches of that profile are value in the over 2.5 market. They do win in the first half goal market, but they're value in the 2.5 market. 400 games, 42 points profit if you bet them all blind. Also good for trading though. They're the sort of games you can wait 20 minutes, play the first half goal market. If it's 0-0 at half time, switch to the 1.5, 2.5 at half time. So championship, HA ratio less than 2.5, and the under 0.5 first half goal lay price 3.2. They do win in that market. You'll have some swings and ups and downs and static, but they're good in the 2.5 as well if you want to get involved in trading the 2.5 market. Betting them blind again in the 2.5 is 42 points, but of course you will have cold periods and etc. etc. I've done I Believe in Miracles, done the joke, done that. What else have we got? Masters. Oh, yeah, the Masters quiz. It's becoming a war of attrition, this one. I'm not sure whether we're going to get to the end. We would be sitting now, wouldn't we, knowing what the first round was. Woods would have opened with a 78, McIlroy a 96. And I'd be loving life watching the old club championships as who would win it? Who would win it in my virtual world? Jordan Smith makes a comeback and wins it. So Masters Quiz Day 5 is up. Another 5 questions. Fair play to people who've done all 5 days. www.ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part-5. If you want to do either of the other 4 days so far, you just change the 5 at the end to 1, 2, 3, or 4 for day 1, 2, 3, or 4. But today it's ftsincome.co.uk/masters-quiz-part-5. Job done, 5 more questions for you today, but who's going to do all 7 days? Anybody's in it, I tell you. There's loads of people who haven't done the 5. There's not many who've done all 4 or 5 days so far. Anything can win. Poker tonight, I've done that, haven't I? We've done that bit. What else have I got? Have I got anything else? Done the poker. Did I see there's footy in Belarus tonight? Is it today, tonight? Anybody know if the old vodka approach to the virus is working in Belarus? Is that the way forward, is it? Get out and sod it all. Sod the 5G, sod everything else. Just get out, drink vodka and pretend everything is normal. I'm just dreading the news this weekend because I just know that we're going to be fucking idiots and that people are going to be out everywhere because they're fucking thick as mince and dim. It's going to be fucking depressing for me because I lose faith in mankind. It's going to be fucking annoying, isn't it? Go on, get Operation Southwest. FTS, Operation Southwest, get them cars out on that 303, M5, M1, M6. Get out, block the bastards. Block the bastards! Wankers. Fucking, what was it yesterday? 660 parties in Manchester. I mean, people having a go at the police. Fucking leave them alone. They're dealing with fucking cretins. That's what they're just. Why do we always live in this culture? Or he said something, go have a fucking go at them. Fucking leave them alone and let them get on with it. They're dealing with fucking absolute fucking mincers, aren't they? 606 parties in Manchester broke up. Let them say what they fucking like. They're dealing with fucking twats day in, day out. It's fucking ridiculous. I do not know what is wrong and what is happening in this country. I look back and just think, where are we fucking heading? Yes, we've got better health, you know, than we ever had this, but fucking people are fucking thick as fucking mints. Honestly, do my fucking nutting. Stay safe this weekend. Ignore the idiots. Sorry, I just lost it again then. Sorry, guys. Didn't mean to. I've got to stop swearing, and I was going to stop swearing for Lent. It's Easter now. Oh, well, never mind. Happy Good Friday. Enjoy your hot cross buns. Stay safe. Please stay safe this weekend. Stay in. Plenty of things to do. And I will be back with you. For a lot calmer, I'm going to stay nice and calm. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.